Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sorry, stream. All you're getting is him saying the mash.
I got my ah and my ah woo backwards. That's my bad. All-time banger. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you're just a couple of dead men doing the show today. Join us on the live stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate on YouTube, thefanupstate on Twitter, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch for our Halloween spooktacular. Lonzo broke out the OG dead man, the WrestleMania 1 Undertaker. Rob Brown did put in an order for a full top to bottom wig, mask, spandex, and boots, Kane outfit to roll up in here as the Brothers of Destruction. Which then he then got an email Thursday morning saying, we've delayed your delivery by one day. It'll be here on Saturday, which did me no good at all. No good at all. So I decided to audible Omaha. Omaha came as the American Badass version of The Undertaker to match the raw energy being put off by the OG dead man on the other side. We have got a Halloween spooktacular, a, if you will, scary good show lined up for you today. Let me tell you what we got going on. Coming up in this very segment, here in just mere moments from now, your water cooler cheat sheet. The top 3 sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your friends, family, coworkers, supervisors, managers, bosses, IT guys, janitors, whoever you spend your day talking sports with. This is what you're going to be talking about. Then we will spend the remainder of this hour talking about the biggest and most importante football games of the weekend upcoming. Then, in the next hour of the show, we'll get to some National Football League. We got that for you in the 8 o'clock hour. At 8:40, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast is going to swing by. We'll check in on the Cats after a WrestleMania Undertaker ass whooping put on them by the Buffalo Bills last Sunday. And it's not going to get much easier as they've got the Packers coming up on Sunday. Some interesting news. Bryce Young did practice, full participant yesterday, as did a number of other players. Xavier Leggett, however, out. And Brady Christensen, starting offensive lineman, on the IR, ruptured his Achilles last week against the Bills. So he is headed to the IR, and that kind of changes up the offensive line. We'll see what Rashad has to say about that later on in the radio program. Coming up at 9 o'clock, the fellas from the Moving the Chains podcast are going to swing by. They will set you up for the high school football weekend around the upstate of South Carolina. And then at 9:20, the illustrious Denton Day will swing by. We'll talk to Denton Day, the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. We'll get his thoughts on the biggest matchups from around college football, as well as his thoughts on Heisman updates, his thoughts on South Carolina Ole Miss, Clemson, Duke, and more. All that coming up at 8:20, but it is 7:05 in the morning. You have got right now bang, 55 minutes till you've got to be to the office. You got to be showered, dressed, have your coffee, eat your breakfast, get in the car, drive on in there. Pretend that you care about your job for the next 8-ish hours. Well, we all know the truth. The truth is you're ready to get out of work, go home, put on the costume, have yourself a lovely Halloween party on a Friday night. Then wake up tomorrow, get in a little game day, a little big noon kickoff, whatever your preference is, and strap in for another day of college football. Then have yourself a nice sound sleep throughout the evening. Wake up, and it is time for NFL Sunday. And then we all gather back here on Monday to talk about it all. However, you want to talk about it today? You got to know what's going on. You got to know what's going on? Worry not, my dear friends. That's what we're here for, and that is why we do this.
It's the gloves, man.
I feel the dead air for you. We got it. We covered it.
It's like, you know.
Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this AM and start talking sports with your coworkers. This is what you will be talking about. Let's dive right in. It's like, it's item number one, but it's kind of like an honorary mention. So like, item point five. 28-6, the Ravens knock off the Dolphins last night. Lamar Jackson made his return for Baltimore, and boy howdy, did he look vintage. 18 of 23, 204, four touchdown passes for Lamar last night. Two of them.
You know, Rob, he hardly looks like he ever had an injury.
Hey, he had plenty of recovery time and the best healthcare professionals available. Four touchdown passes, two of them went to tight end Mark Andrews, who had two catches, two touchdowns last night. And it wasn't that Lamar wasn't spinning the bean well, that he only threw 23 passes, is that obviously they were kicking the dog snot up out of the Dolphins. Oh, and BT Dubs, Derrick Henry is back. 19 carries, 119 yards. As Chris Berman might say, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Derrick Henry last night over on the other side of the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, 25 of 40, 261, one pick, no touchdowns. A QBR of 22.7, a rating of 70.9. They had 87 total rushing yards, 67 from Achane. Malik Washington had 13. Through the air, Jaylen Waddle had 82 yards. Nobody else had more than 49. That was Greg Dulcich. Look, the Dolphins are bad at football right now. That is why the win over Atlanta last weekend was shocking, to say the least. The only thing that jumped off the television screen about the Miami Dolphins, a long way from number one last night. Holy crap, were the Boo Birds out. The only quarter that the Boo Birds were not louder than Alan Kirk was in the fourth, and that was only because the Dolphins fans all left. This is a catastrophe. Prediction, Lonzo. Mike McDaniel is not the head coach of the Miami Dolphins by the end of today. I don't think he gets out of today after what happened.
What is his buyout?
I don't know. I know that what I saw last night was a team that is checked out, a locker room that has been lost, and on top of that, there was one spot in particular that I went, it is over for Mike McDaniels and his coaching staff. Ollie Gordon II is a backup running back for the Dolphins. Ollie Gordon had checked in. He was in pass pro. Ollie Gordon on a drop back pass from Tua Tagovailoa tried to shift over to block a defensive end. Ollie Gordon tripped. It was obvious what happened. He was still a long ways out. He tripped, and as he tripped, put his arm out to catch himself, and a couple of body parts got into the legs of an edge rusher. The edge rusher goes to the ground. Referees call a 10-yard tripping penalty. You can't do that. However, it was clearly and obviously a trip and fall, not a, oh, crap, I got beat, and trying to save his ass. He goes to the sideline, and the running back coach for Miami, who has been fired from like three consecutive jobs that he's had, the running backs coach for Miami goes off on this. I mean, like, clearly dropping the F-bombs, calling him every name under the sun. Ollie Gordon takes off his helmet, spikes it into the ground. He's yelling at the coach. The coach is yelling at him. There's nothing happening good on that sideline. Soon as I saw that, and then you add in a 28-6 beatdown at the hands of the Ravens, who are now, by the way, 3-5. Granted, most of those five were sans Lamar. The Dolphins are cooked, and yeah. I don't think Mike makes it out of today.
Let me throw a hypothetical out there. Let's say that you're a team that wants the number one pick. Whether you're going to take it, use it, or trade, you know, use it to get a bunch more picks, why would you get rid of a coach who you know can't win and bring someone in who will accidentally win? You're going to fire him at the end of the season. Why not let him secure that number one pick for you?
I think the answer is, and I've had conversations about this with former NFL players before. In fact, I had this conversation with Roman Harper specifically. I very much remember after he retired, he got into, when he was going into broadcasting, he was doing some stuff with the Saints for a while there. And I had this conversation with him. I said, for a locker room, like a team obviously wants a number one pick, but there's a debate that goes on amongst fans. Are teams tanking or are they just really that bad at the end of the year? And Roman said, and at this point, Roman was just getting into the game. Not that he was like a firebrand or a hot take guy, but like he was, you know, he's willing to say stuff that NFL players would not. He said, listen, there is not, has not, and will never be an NFL player who agrees to tank. It will never happen. You will never have an owner, a GM, or a coach go out there and say, we're going to tank. Now, they obviously can pull some strings to make the team a little bit worse, but they're never going to do it intentionally because he said the one thing that will kill a team longer than being bad for a year or two is if your locker room culture becomes toxic, because there is no guarantee that anybody can fix that. That is what will kick the legs out from your program faster than anything else. If your locker room becomes known to players as toxic, a new coach does not change that narrative around your locker room. So, yeah, you could keep Mike, be guaranteed to lose out the rest of the way, and put yourself in a position to be the number one overall selection next year. But the question mark is, how many guys that you would need to stick around in order to rebuild around a new quarterback next year, if Tua Tagovailoa is done there, how many guys would say, no, bro, like this locker room is a garbage fire and I want out?
Well, you can fix that too, because trade deadline, I think, is next year.
Oh, they're
next week.
It's next week. It's the fourth.
So you get rid of some of your better players, the guys who would be vocal, who would be leaders. You get rid of them, get some more picks out of them. You know you're not going to be good next year, but you start building for the next
couple years. Listen, I get what you're saying, and I'm not even saying that that's not what happens. I know it's not going to be openly spoken about. I will say that you would rather give yourself a chance for the players, even if you are going to trade your guys, and I think if you're the Dolphins, you have to. Even if you're going to trade your guys, there are still guys on that team that are going to be part of that team next year. There just are. I would rather give my guys in the locker room an opportunity to fix the locker room under an interim coach. I'd rather give the locker room a chance to fix itself and limit how much damage is done for a rebuild next year than allow the locker room to continue to be covered in toxicity and understand that, like, I may have to build this thing, not even from the foundation up, I may have to rebuild the foundation next year. So it's theory, it's philosophy. We'll see how it plays out. I'm going to finish this up with the other half of this item. Different sport, but not a lot to get into because we'll do a preview later on in the show. 8 p.m. tonight, World Series game number 6. The Toronto Blue Jays back home leading this series 3-2 over the L.A. Dodgers. The Dodgers are favorites in the game. Yoshinobu Yamamoto will toe the rubber for L.A. Toronto will counter with Kevin Gausman. These two guys have been relatively good. Gausman did not get his first start, I believe, until the ALCS. He had been working a lot of pen work, a lot of relief and closer work earlier in the playoffs. Yamamoto has been pretty good overall. First time out against Toronto, a complete game, 9-inning effort, 9 hits, 1 run allowed against the Toronto Blue Jays. Gausman's last time out was against these same Dodgers. It was in the 5-1 loss. Gausman worked 6.2, gave up 4 hits, and 3 of the 5 runs, 2 of them came off of LA dingers. So it's a get-right spot for Kevin Gausman. Yamamoto, after going 9 in, game 2, has a chance to continue to have one of the best postseasons in recent memory off the bump. That game at 8 o'clock tonight, the Dodgers -145 on the money line, depending on where you want to look at them, over under 7.5 in this game. Toronto is favored to win the series, however, as they just need to win one of the two taking place in Toronto. We'll check in on the World Series later on, but let's get to item number 2. A couple of basketball stories for you here very quickly. I will start with this one. The WNBA and the WNBA Players Association have agreed to extend their collective bargaining agreement terms for 1 month. They had a deadline of tomorrow. The deadline is now extended through November 30th. The current CBA was set to expire, today, not tomorrow. I forgot that it's Friday, not Thursday. I'm dumb. We'll get there. The current CBA was set to expire today, a scenario that would have opened the door for either a strike by the players or a lockout initiated by the owners or both. But the two sides reported yesterday that they feel that they are close enough to justify pushing the deadline back 1 month. It follows a similar path to the most recent round of CBA negotiations after the 2019 season. At that point, the two sides agreed to a 60-day extension. They agreed to a new deal in January of 2020. There have been multiple meetings between the WNBA and the WNBAPA as part of the negotiations. The big sticking point right now seems to be that the WNBA Players Association has proposed sizable increases to the league's minimum and maximum salaries, which they say reflects revenue generated by the WNBA since the last CBA was signed. On the flip side, the league's proposal maintains revenue targets that would allow players to share in future growth. The salary cap would remain fixed during the deal if those targets are not met. So effectively saying, you bump the revenue up, we'll bump the salary cap up, we'll bump what you can make up, and we'll give you some other benefits involved. The WNBA PA is saying, no, the revenue is already up, which it is. Revenue, it's important, is just money coming in. It does not take into consideration expenses, whether you're in the red, whether you're in the black, it is just money coming in. The WNBA players are saying revenue's up. If you guys can't figure out how to make a profit off of it, that's on you. But revenue is up, and we want a slice of that pie. The other basketball story, Adam Silver has two meetings coming up. Number one, the NBA is going to be having meetings, multiple plural, with its sportsbook partners in order to discuss what type of bets are most vulnerable to manipulation and how much better should be allowed to wager on those bets, according to sources via ESPN. Before this season, the NBA identified missed free throws, fouls, and turnovers as types of wagers most susceptible to manipulation, asked their partner sportsbooks not to offer those bets. FanDuel and DraftKings told ESPN that they agreed to the NBA's request. FanDuel did not offer such wagers in past seasons. DraftKings had offered in-game betting on players making or missing free throws, but those offerings were not available before a game. You could live bet them, but not bet them once the players were on the court. Obviously, it's a way to prevent the players from telling other people, hey, I'm going to go miss a bunch of free throws tonight, bet my under, and selling that information, which is what happened with Terry Rozier. The other part of that story, Adam Silver has gotten a letter from. Now, granted, it's from one congressman, but that congressman has support from other members. Once the lockdown is over, Adam Silver may very well be catching a subpoena from a congressional committee to come discuss what has happened with the NBA and how the NBA plans on addressing that moving forward. Why would Congress get involved? The answer is because the NBA has antitrust exemptions like most of the pro sports leagues do. But if the NBA is, and again, if this scandal keeps getting worse, if the NBA is proven to be not just having players rig games or rig stats or rig bets, but more importantly, and I do think that this is a possibility, if the NBA knew about it and covered it up, and this was a question that's been asked, because hey, if you caught Terry Rozier dead to rights, shaving stats, not points in this point, but shaving stats in this point, if you caught them dead to right, how was Terry Rozier allowed back in the NBA? How was Terry Rozier allowed to play basketball ever again? And I think it's a fair question to ask. We'll come back to that later on in the show as well. Let's get very quickly to item number three. I also would like to spend some time on this. Yesterday, we told you Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana, got involved in LSU's business. The governor of Louisiana held a press conference. He acknowledged two things. Number one, that he held a meeting at the governor's mansion with the board of trustees where the argument was made about whether or not Brian Kelly should be fired. Ultimately, on Sunday, Brian Kelly was fired. Now, this is very interesting. Right now, today, Brian Kelly is still technically still employed by LSU because they have not agreed on the structure of the buyout yet. And until they do that and both parties sign the paper, Brian Kelly still technically works for LSU until that is done. He just isn't going to be allowed to coach. But blah, 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 put that to the side. Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana, said yesterday a few things. He said, number one, I held the meeting. They're out. Number two, we are going to have a committee that is going, we don't know who's on it, I believe it is the Board of Governors ultimately that will be tasked with the responsibility that hasn't been made clear. He said, we are going to pick the new head coach. And number three, he specifically said Scott Woodward, the athletic director at LSU, will not be involved in the process. Said he screwed up the Jimbo Fisher selection, which, by the way, I would like to point out, not the way that Woodward described, or not the way that Landry described it. He said he's the reason that A&M owed Jimbo Fisher over $70 million. No, he's not. He's the reason they hired him. But the extension that raised the buyout to astronomical proportions was actually Ross Bjork, the new AD at Ohio State. Number two, he repeatedly reiterated Brian Kelly got fired because it's a failure and he's tired of the taxpayers being on the hook, despite the fact that like 95% of Brian Kelly's salary is not paid by taxes. It is paid from sponsorships, media rights, and private donations, boosters, whatever. So Landry's not totally being truthful in the way he's addressing this situation. But he still has created the situation, and it led to yesterday when I said, if the governor's going to come out and talk bad about the AD, why would anybody want to attach themselves to the AD? He hired Kim Mulkey, won a natty for the women's basketball team. He hired Jay Johnson, won two national championships for the baseball team. The only one he's gotten wrong is Brian Kelly. Here's the thing. I said, even with that being the case, if the governor of the state of Louisiana, who technically runs the public education system, says this dude's toxic and he's not going to be the guy in charge of the decision that he should be in charge of, why would anybody have any faith in him as an AD? They don't. Yesterday, Scott Woodward fired as the athletic director of LSU. Virge Ausberry, the executive deputy athletic director, will be the interim AD while they look for a new AD. Scott Ballard, LSU's Board of Supervisors chair, said, quote, we thank Scott for the last 6 years of service as athletic director. He had a lot of success at LSU, and we wish him nothing but the best in the future. Oh, the old future endeavor presser. That's rough. So, I want to talk about this later on in the show. We may get to it in this hour. May push it to the next. But the question is, is this a scary precedent for you? And by you, I mean literally everyone who is a fan of a football team, of a public institution. Is it a scary thought that a governor in one state clearly had the political power and was willing to throw it around to enact changes that clearly, and yes, I think most people wanted Brian Kelly gone from LSU, but they didn't pull the trigger until the governor got involved. Does that scare you? That a governor can throw his weight around and change the future of a program? Or do you look at this and you go, everybody wanted him gone, and the AD wasn't going to get him gone, so good for the governor for stepping in and giving the people what they want. This is a really interesting situation because both sides of that coin have some weight to it. We'll talk more about this later on. We got plenty to get to, talking some college football in this hour of the show. Rob Brown, the Great Malonzo, and you. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Clemson taking on Duke, South Carolina at Ole Miss. And I came to a realization about these two games. First off, they are both absolutely losable games for both of these teams. Duke can absolutely beat the Clemson team that we have seen playing football this year. Ole Miss is the number four team in the country, and it's a good football team. However, both of these games are very winnable as well. And the realization I came to last night is that I genuinely believe that there is one factor for both teams that I think is the reason that Clemson can win or lose against Duke. South Carolina can win or lose against Ole Miss. For Clemson, it is the defensive front seven. This Duke team can move the football. Darian Muenzah is a dude. He's got legs. He's got an arm. He's got talent. It's not the greatest set of skill position talent around him, but it's better than Duke's had in years gone by. This Duke football team can absolutely move the football behind Darian Muenzah. He has a complete quarterback. There's a reason the Cat's getting like $3.5 million in NIL playing at Duke. He is, talent-wise, arguably the best quarterback they've ever had. Like Danny Dimes and Darian Muenzah, and that might be the list. So, the question mark for Clemson is very much your defensive front seven. This is a front seven that I do not think, it is a hot take to say, has been disappointing. This was a front seven that I spent the offseason on nationally syndicated radio programs, on podcasts, on shows where I was putting my reputation as a professional knower of ball on the line. And I can't tell you how many times I said, yeah, I picked the Clemson Tigers as my national champion this year. And I didn't do it to kiss up to you guys. I was doing this on shows that some of you will never come across in your life. Big shows, small shows, whatever. I was doing this on shows some of you will never hear before and will never hear. And I was picking Clemson as your natty winner. Not because I'm from here, not because I needed to kiss up to you. I was doing it because I genuinely believed it to be true. And the rationale that I used to tell everyone that I told I think Clemson is a natty was the defensive front seven from the Clemson Tigers. We can talk about Cade Klubnik as a potential Heisman finalist. We can talk about the fact that they finally have some wide receivers. We can talk about the fact that, talent-wise, it looks like they've gotten back to what we expect from a Dabo-coached Clemson Tiger football team. But if they're going to win this, it is because they have a front seven that has multiple NFL first and second rounders on it, and because they went and they got Tom Allen, who I love as a defensive coordinator. And I thought, when you have the talent that you have across the front seven, and when you've got Tom Allen, who is known for, A, having some very unique looks on the defense, but B, more importantly, being stupid aggressive in attacking an offense. When you put those two things together, that is an absolutely, I think, perfect recipe for this team to be able to get after anybody. And that's why I picked you. And I think that is also why I say the defensive front seven for Clemson might be the most disappointing group in college football. I mean, maybe Penn State is the answer to that. But as far as like a unit or a position, I think Clemson's defensive front seven might be it. It just hasn't been there. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I blame coaching from the standpoint of player development. I don't know if I blame coaching from the standpoint of just getting the boys ready to go murder quarterbacks. I don't know if I blame coaching from the standpoint of the play calling's not what I thought it was going to be. Or I don't know if I blame the players for just not playing with pride, heart, grit, aggression, moxie, whatever you want to say. I don't know. I don't know. And I think that's why it's disappointing. Because I don't know where I want to put the blame on the failure of Clemson's front seven. What I will say is if that front seven's not excellent against Darian Muenzah and against the Duke Blue Devils, if you're not excellent, he'll beat you. This is a very losable game for the Clemson Tigers. And I think it will be predicated on. Listen, Chris Fazina was fine against SMU. Cade Klubnik has looked better his last two games before he got hurt and had to go sit on the bench for a little while. It may take him a while to get going. Obviously, with the loss of Wesco, that changes up everything, as he was the number one wide receiver, at least statistically, until he got injured and had to put the season to bed. But you still got guys on the offensive side of the football. Adam Randall's looked better. You still got guys that can step up in the wide receiver core if Cade Klubnik comes out and he's good, and we'll find out. But I really think you can win this game 10-7. You can win this game 10-3, 14-10, 14-7. You can win a low-scoring game against Duke. You can score a touchdown or two and win this game still if your front seven plays the way your front seven should play. Because you'll take Darian Mensah out of the game, and if you take him away from Duke, Duke really doesn't have a counterpunch. For South Carolina, the entire game is hinged on Mike Shula in the playbook. We had a texter yesterday who said that they believe, and I got to tell you, the more I think about it, the more I think he might be right. The first 3.5 quarters against the Alabama Crimson Tide felt like a Sean Elliott offense. Felt like what he was running when he was at Georgia Southern. Felt like an offense that was a little bit more wide open, a little bit more creative, unique blocking systems. We're going to take slots, line them up off guard as an effective additional offensive lineman. We're going to have guys come out of the slot, crack back on the D-line and tackle, pull around. We're going to have a lot of different looks that we didn't show before this that made Alabama defensively get off balance, get off kilter. And once that happened, now the offense is opened up. And on top of that, it wasn't turn around, get ball, running back goes center, running back get tackled. Right? Like, it was creative. They're getting the ball to the outside. They're using misdirection. Misdirection is used primarily to do what? To make the defense sit still until the revelation of where the ball is going. We saw the misdirection. I'm not going to say trickeration because it wasn't like a bunch of gadgets. It was just we're moving the ball in ways we haven't moved the ball. And then we got to the fourth quarter. We got to the two most important drives of the football game. And what happened? You went right back to the Mike Shula playbook of the first seven games. That was the reason I thought you were going to get blown out. As I told Dre on Friday, look, man, I know you're saying we got Lenoris, we got some playmakers, that's why we can win. Cool, but why would I see an offense that went 7 weeks without doing that suddenly expect them to do it in week eight? I shouldn't. They did. I shouldn't have expected it. So now the question is, do they break that out in this game against Ole Miss? Do they go to Ole Miss? Do they go with the first 3.5 quarters that they had against Ole Miss where the playbook was open? Or do they go right back to what they were doing the first seven games when they kept getting their asses whipped? I don't know what the answer to that is. What I do know is the answer to that is the answer to can you or can you not win the football game. If you go with the first 3.5 quarters, if you do to Ole Miss what you did to Alabama, you can beat Ole Miss just like you were beating Alabama. But if you go back to what you did to finish the game against Alabama, an offense that cannot beat Alabama, you also cannot beat Ole Miss. These two games, and we'll get into the X's and O's, Denton Day joining us in a couple of hours, we'll get his thoughts, but I genuinely believe both teams are capable of winning this game. And more importantly, I believe the way to win the game comes down to one guy or one unit. For Clemson, defensive front seven. Limit Darian Mensah, you'll beat the Duke Blue Devils. For South Carolina, open up the playbook, go back to the trickeration, go back to the blocking schemes, go back to everything you did against Alabama for 3.5 quarters. You can beat Ole Miss. You know how to stop Trinidad Chambliss. You've stopped him because you play practice against Lenora Sellers all the time. Question mark is, can you open up the playbook and take advantage if you do that? All right, when we come back, let's take a look at the rest of the college football schedule for the weekend. Biggest games, highest impact games, and what the AP poll, and remember, next week, first playoff poll drops as well. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over a million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, a hashtag Friday football fiesta. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. Let's take a look at the games impact around the rest of college football.
I have a problem.
Gloves are a little tight.
Static electricity.
Ah.
I don't know if you can see the hair is like now going towards the microphone. And see, I hope it doesn't short anything out. I don't know how to fix that.
Got a couple of Undertakers in the building today. Got the OG WrestleMania 1 Undertaker, got the American Badass all dressed in black. Undertaker rolling in here today. Was going to be Kane so we could pull off the Brothers of Destruction, but my costume got delayed. Isn't going to be here. Well, it wasn't going to be here. I canceled it. I was like, nope, give me my money back. I'm real mad at you.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you're going to get, I mean, because you would be ready for next year or whatever.
I would be, but like, that takes the fun out of it. Like, now I'm just a random Kane. We were going to go full Brothers of Destruction. That was going to be great. That was going to be great. So instead, we're just a couple of Undertakers. Same guy of Destruction is our costume theme this year. Let's take a look at the rest of college football. We talked a little South Carolina. We talked a little Clemson as they get set for their games coming up tomorrow. Look, I did the short segment in the hour on those two games because I really do think those two games, and we can talk more about the X's and O's. South Carolina fans, I would love to hear your thoughts on a probable or potential upset against Ole Miss. Clemson fans, what are you looking for? Like, what are you looking, I would say forward to, but what are you looking just for in general in your game back off of the bye week against a talented, not great, but talented, but unranked Duke Blue Devil team? We're going to talk about that. Clemson favored by 3.5 in that game. South Carolina on the road. Let me get the updated line for you on that one. Ole Miss favored by 12.5. That is a growing number, by the way. It was at 11.5. I think it was 10.5 at the open. Now up to 12.5, which means the money is hammering Ole Miss to whip on the Gamecocks. We'll talk about that a little bit more with Denton Day coming up at 9:20. Rashad Beard in an hour from now to talk Carolina Panthers, and the fellas from the Moving the Chains pod at 9 o'clock straight up to set you up for the high school football weekend upcoming. Let's take a look at the rest of the impactful college games of the weekend. We open up with the number one team in the country in what preseason looked like it might very well be the game of the year in college football, Penn State at Ohio State. Instead, we are looking at a 3-4, 0-4 in the Big Ten Penn State Nittany Lions squad, who are now a 19.5 point underdog to the Ohio State Buckeyes. I will say, the line is moving in the direction of Penn State. It was 20.5 initially. I told Brad and Ryan on BetMGM tonight on Tuesday, Ohio State, I was comfortable taking them at 20.5. And I would take them at 20.5 because I don't want that line to get to 21.5. I did not think it was going to go the other direction. I did not think that it was going to be going back to Penn State. That being said, what do you want me to say about Penn State? I mean, what can we say at Penn State right now? It's a tough spot to be in for the Nittany Lions. On the flip side, I said this, I pointed this out on the show earlier this week. If you were to look at a graph of football teams, with the x-axis being offensive EPA adjusted to opponent quality, and the y-axis being EPA adjusted to opponents defensively, the Ohio State Buckeyes have the number one defense in college football adjusted to opponent quality, and they have the number two offense adjusted EPA to opponent quality. The only team that's better than them in either quality, hilariously, the Indiana Hoosiers have the number one opponent adjusted EPA in college football. So, this Buckeye team is a team that opened the year with a, yeah, like they look good, but I don't know how good they are. And now here we are going into week 10, and this is clearly the best team in college football right now.
Well, the questions going into the season, you're bringing in a quarterback, a new starting quarterback, and who knew if Matt Patricia's defense could translate to college football? And both of those things have been answered. And I think those were definitely the question marks. I'm a little worried. I'm not a lot worried, but I'm a little worried. Because coming off of bye, let's hope that players aren't believing the hype and still come out hungry. Because Penn State still has a lot of really good players on that team. And they could shock you.
I am going to say, great one, that as much as I am a subscriber to and believer of the any given Saturday mentality, no, they can. The only way that Penn State is even making this game interesting is if, like, Ohio State voluntarily plays their backups, all of them, like all 22 guys. I genuinely, like, and granted, I know that this is one that some can push back because I said last week I thought Bama was going to beat the brakes off of South Carolina. So
that's,
like, cool.
That's why I made that face when said that. It's like,
I know, and it's fair, and it's fair. But when I've made those predictions over the past few years, I've been right more often than I've been wrong, and I'm going to put this into this category. I don't see this is a game that preseason was like, circle this one in red. Even if you're not a fan of these two teams, like, you have to watch this football game. It might be the most important football game of the regular season. Two. Man, like, if you're not a Buckeye fan or a Penn State fan, like, there's other better games on at noon to watch than this one because I don't think it's going to be close.
Unless you want to scout for your team who you're going to play in the playoffs.
I mean, sure. That's in the books. Also at noon, number 9, Vanderbilt at number 20, Texas. As we all knew coming into the season, Vanderbilt, the higher-ranked team between the two.
I mean, there was never a doubt.
Let me throw this one at you because I find this very interesting. Granted, lines are not set based on who's ranked higher, and we all know that at the end of the day, who's ranked higher is largely irrelevant until the playoff rankings drop, which, by the way, is next Tuesday. That's going to be a friggin' – you know what's going to be a big day for us next week? Wednesday is going to be a big week for us because the playoff rankings drop Tuesday, and Tuesday is NFL trade deadline next week. So Wednesday is going to be chaos for us next week, and I look forward to it. Also, it is Vandy at Texas. Vanderbilt is a 3.5-point underdog on the road at Texas, despite the fact that we don't know if Arch Manning is going to be available or not. Can I tell you why I am not just leaning Vanderbilt? I'm considering a Vanderbilt money line win, like an outright win bet for Vanderbilt. There are stats that are not regularly discussed that I think should be. Most of the bets that I make are because I go and I find a matchup stat somewhere that I go, bang, there it is. Like, there's your take. I found mine for this game. The stat that I found for this game that makes me confident with a Vanderbilt to cover and maybe even a sprinkle on the outright money line win is Vanderbilt has the second most productive defensive lines in terms of causing havoc. By that I mean average time to throw is an under for opposing quarterbacks, and those unders are caused by the defensive line. So effectively, average time to throw is below average, and it is credited primarily to the defensive line. Vanderbilt has the second best in the Southeastern Conference. They have one of the five best in America right now. We all focus in on Diego Pavia, Clark Lee. We should. They're football dudes. Diego's a dog. This is exactly the type of game that he gets up and lives for. It's not Diego Pavia and Clark Lee that, to me, are the most important part of this. It is the most important part the most important part is the defensive line for Vanderbilt. And especially considering either you're going to go with Arch Manning, who, if you look at the games where Arch has struggled, it has primarily been because he's got to move around a bunch and he doesn't have time to throw, and that seems to be a problem for him. The second thing is Arch Manning might not go. And if they can't go, they're going to end up having to go with a quarterback who is a backup who has spent the last 4 years playing FCS ball and not exceptionally well. Like, he was fine. Not exceptionally well. So, with all of that being said, if Vanderbilt's bringing one of the best five defensive lines, at least statistically speaking, in football to Texas, Texas's offensive line, I heard a Texas Longhorn guy on a podcast yesterday describe them as, and I quote, leaky. If their offensive line is leaky and they're blocking for a quarterback who is either already struggling or is a backup who's going to get his first start and was a good but not great quarterback at the FCS level, like, why am I not picking Vanderbilt in this game? Why? Because Texas is at home? I mean, is that a scary place to play right now? I don't think so. Number 10, Miami is at SMU. The Canes are -10.5 against SMU. Listen, Miami should clear this hurdle and should do so easily. I think part of the reason that SMU is 10.5 and not closer to 12.5 is because a lot of people looked at the win over Clemson, and that, like, I think they're giving it more credit than it deserved. With all due respect to the Tigers, I think they're giving it more respect than it deserves.
It's too late for that. Once you said that,
I mean, it is what it is. They're a 3-4 football team.
Yeah, that's true.
If I substituted any other team for Clemson, zero of you would have been offended by that sentence. You're just offended because it's your team, and I get it, but I'm still right. I think SMU's getting a little credit. I like Kevin Jennings a lot. Here's the problem. Despite the fact that they failed to show it against Louisville, which is their one loss on the season, Miami's got one of the best 10 defenses in football, maybe one of the best 5 defenses in football. That is what Miami is this year. Carson Beck has been fine. He hasn't been great. He's not a Heisman frontrunner any longer. It's been Miami's defense that's gotten it done. They can eliminate Kevin Jennings as the impact factor, and if they eliminate Kevin Jennings as the impact factor in this spot, Miami's offense will be fine because SMU's defense is objectively not good.
What a drop for SMU between last year and this year.
It's enormous. And again, like, I did not expect the drop to be from the defense. Certainly not from a top 20 defense last year to a bottom 5 defense this year. Number 2, Indiana is at Maryland at 3:30. The Hoosiers, 21.5 point favorites. That's a trick line. I love to bet the Indiana Hoosiers. 21.5 feels like a trap line. You know, 20.5, I feel better. That touchdown plus the hook feels big for me against Maryland. Now, that being said, you know why I like betting Indiana on big lines more than anybody else? Kurt Cignetti and Fernando Mendoza do not let up. They do not take off the gas. If they can beat you by 60, they will beat you by 60. They do not care about showing respect or any of that. They want to crush you. I'm not going to touch that line. Indiana's going to win a lot. -7.5 for the Georgia Bulldogs over the Florida Gators at 3:30. That is the world's largest outdoor cocktail party at Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville, Florida, the butthole of America. Is there a word that Georgia doesn't run all over interim coach-led Florida? Is there a world that Georgia doesn't take out the fact that they are number 5 and not number 1 on the Florida Gators? I don't think that there is. Georgia -7.5. That also feels like a trap number, but I also feel like it's a trap that's set the wrong way. I think it's set to try to trick you into taking Florida in this spot, and I'm not going to fall for it.
So we don't get that our coach just got fired, so we're gonna play for him?
Yeah, I mean, the interim coach, like, Billy Napier is not, it's like Brian Kelly, like, there were some guys that liked Billy Napier, but Billy Napier was never the guy that it felt like the guys were going to war for that cat, right? Like, James Franklin left. Somebody pointed this out yesterday. I thought it was a great point. James Franklin was fired at Penn State, and it was like 3 days of everybody, including Penn State, talking about how amazing James Franklin is, right? Like, we are sad to see him go. He's a great guy. Just, it wasn't working out, but he's a great guy, and he loves all these former players coming out telling these great stories about James Franklin, and he called me, and he reached out to me, and he helped me with this and that and the other. And then there's Brian Kelly, on the other hand, who literally zero people, not one person has said a nice word about. The statement of termination from LSU basically said it didn't work out. Not even really like a good luck in your future endeavors. Like, they just straight up were like, we're moving on. That nobody, I got former LSU players posting videos of themselves literally kicking rocks over Brian Kelly. Billy Napier's kind of in the middle. Like, there were some guys that were like, oh, okay. But, like, nobody's issuing these big, we're sad to see him go letters about Billy Napier. I don't know if there's the interim coach bump for the Florida Gators. What I do know is The Florida Gators are a football team that's got talent and just have done zero to utilize that. I think Georgia is a layup bet at -7.5. All right, we got a lot more college games we're going to get to. Some more top-ranked teams. We've got, coming up in the next hour, Rashad Beard in 40 minutes to talk about the Panthers. The Move in the Chains guys at 9 straight up to set you up with the high school weekend. Denton Day, college football overtime host on SiriusXM at 9:20 to give us his thoughts from the national perspective. And we've still got to get your NFL picks, predictions, projections, and prognostications as well. All that coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Now, sit back, relax, light a candle, pour yourself a glass of red wine, and get that cigarette ready for when it's over. Because Lonzo's about to seduce you with his sports flash.
No, I'm not. I'll be lucky to make it through it. Lamar Jackson's return for the Baltimore Ravens led to a 28-6 win over the Miami Dolphins last night. Jackson completed 18 of 24 passes for 204 yards and 4 passing yards. 4 passing touchdowns, 4 passing yards, that would have been bad. Derrick Henry went off for 119 yards and 19 carries as well. Sorry, Rob karate chopped and it freaked me out. Game 6 of the World Series will begin tonight at 8 o'clock. His hands are lethal with Yoshinobu Yamamoto towing the rubber for LA and Kevin Gausman countering for the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are hoping that George Springer will be available for this game. Panthers quarterback Bryce Young was listed as a full participant at practice yesterday. Panthers haven't made a statement about Young's playing status this Sunday against the Packers yet. Carolina also added offensive lineman Brady Christensen to the injured reserve with an Achilles rupture. Hour number 3 coming up next.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.